Blog Talk Radio.
Come here, come here.
Will to bow your heads with me as we go down in prayer.
Father God, we come with grateful hearts of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us together in unity once again around this spectrum. Coming together as pilgrims through this barren land, we're asking you to anoint these lips of clay to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know you in the pardon of their sins. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within their souls. Father God, I would be so grateful and so mindful to give your name the glory and honor and all the praises. These and other blessings we ask in your Son Jesus' name. And we shall all say amen and amen. And as I first stated on last evening, I will be submitting unto you a new number. But at this present time, we are blocking out the numbers for calling. I will be accepting any calling at this present moment, and I will keep you abreast on the new number. So we're going to go on into our theme on tonight, and this is a continuation of our theme on last night. And so I would just like to let you know that the Bible doesn't dodge the tough issues, but it offers plain and achievable counsel that works. It promises you hope, it promises you love, and it promises you the assurance for those who are weary of losing the battle and living with the guilt. Now, we talked about a man named Joseph, and we know that he encountered those articulated things firsthand. So we know that sometimes there are a dear price to be paid, and there are a sometimes large price tag for purity. We know that. And we've all heard the saying that heaven has no rage like love, that hatred turned not hell, a fear like a woman scorned. And Miss Potiphar is certainly no exception to the rule. Not only was she scorned, but she had humiliation. Enraged and furious, she manufactured a lie with the circumstantial evidence in her favor, claiming that she had been raped. And so we're gonna go a little bit further into the circumstances that talks about sensuality. So we know that Joseph, he could allow himself to listen to the wrong voice. Men filled with love do so every day. And this could be some of the things that went into the mindset of Joseph. Her husband doesn't meet her needs like I can. Who will ever find out worth it? Look, we're going to be married soon. I am so lonely. God will understand and forgive. Just this once, never ever again. Don't be deceived, children of God, friends of you that are out there in my listening audience. Don't let our adversary, Satan, deceive you. Because he can deceive you by such persuasive thoughts. Rivet it into your mind. God's very clear command, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. We read in the law of 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3. You must not be gentle with your emotions. Look again at Joseph, the model, in the law of Genesis 39. Now we find out that the verse 8, he refused. We read in verse 9, how then could I do this great evil? Go down to verse 10. He did not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. Then verse 12, he left and fled. You have to be tough, saints of God and friends and kinship, and you that are out there in my listening digital audience on tonight. Be bold. Reject the bait. Think of it as a brutal savage ready to pounce and deny and also devour you. We know that lust is committed to wage war against your soul in a life and death struggle. In hand-in-hand combat, don't stand before this mortal enemy and harbor a fight in your own strength. Run for cover. Lust is one flame you dare not fan. You'll get burned if you do. When it comes to your emotions, be tough rather than tender. Refuse to let your feelings dominate your mind when lust craves satisfaction. You must not be confused with the immediate result. Do you recall what happened to our friend Joseph? Even though he resisted the woman advances, she kept coming back. Instead of those advances tapering off, they intensified. Instead of being intimately rewarded for his self-control, he was falsely accused and dumped into a dungeon. Talked about confused. But Joseph kept his eyes fixed on the Lord. He refused to be delusional. How often I've seen people withstand a barrage of temptation for a while. Then a weak moment fall because of confusion. The enemy does not surrender easily. Keep standing firm, though. Even though you might feel strangely alone and forgotten by the Lord, ultimately he will reward every act of moral restraint. And we know that the scriptures analyze of temptation. The New Testament passages come to mind when I think of any temptation, including sexuality. We read in Matthew 4:1-11 and Corinthians 10:13. And then again James 1:13-16. Each one emphasizes and in important truth to help us counteract our tendency to yield when tempted by analyzing each well, get a bell hammer on the problem. And we find out in the law of Matthew 4:1-11, this is the familiar account of the time when the devil tempted Christ. He launched his full-scale attack on the Son of God. But Jesus never yielded. Why, you may ask? What was it that gave him such inner strength? You can read these 11 verses in your Bible slowly and aloud. You will hear yourself saying the same words 3 times. It is written, verse 4. It is written, verse 7. It is written, verse 10. Follow those words each time Jesus referred back to verses of scripture from the Old Testament of the law. Deuteronomy 8:3, Deuteronomy 6:16, Deuteronomy 6:13. When the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted, he used the word of God, which he quoted aloud from memory. Interestingly, only one offensive weapon is part of our armor described in Ephesians 6:10-17. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We find out that the Greek term translated word is the term meaning saying. It has reference to something that is spoken. Let's take that literally. Christ did. He actually stated the word from scripture. He wielded the sword of the Spirit in the face of the tempter. God honors his truth. We read in the law of Matthew 4:11, immediately followed the third time Jesus had quoted scripture, then the devil left him. If you want to stand strong against the magnetic, powerful lure of lust, quote aloud the word of God. We find out that the summit is correct. How can a young man help his way through? but keeping it according to the word. With all the heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander from thy commandments. Thy word I have prayed in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's in the law of Psalms 119 through 9 through 11. We find out that a pure heart is directly linked to treasuring God's word. Now 1 Corinthians tells us 10 and 13. The Apostle Paul gave us hope in the verse of Scripture. No temptation has ever overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you will and may be able to redo it. We take a little closer look at these words revealing something we tend to forget. When we are tempted, God is there through it all. He is faithful. We may feel alone, but we are not alone. He places definite limitations on their back, not allowing the magnet of the throne. Then we can hear, and he also promised to provide the way of escape, so that we aren't totally surrounded and consumed by the temptation. He left completely to ourselves, abandoned and forgotten by God. We will have no hope of victory, but God is faithful. He doesn't leave us in the lurch, never. I once heard a father tell his son, first, serious conflict in school. This boy was being kicked on by two or three bullies. They punched the youngster a time or two, punched him over when he was riding his bike home from school, and generally made his life miserable for the lad. They told him they would meet him the next morning and beat him up. That evening, the dad really worked with the boy at home. He showed him how to defend himself, passed along a few helpful techniques, and even gave him some tips on how he might try to win them over as friends. The next morning, the lad and dad prayed together, knowing that the inevitable was sure to happen. With a reassuring embrace and a firm handshake, the father smiled confident and said, "You can do it, son. I know you'll make out all right." Choking back tears, the boy got on his bike and began the lonely, long ride to school. What the boy did not know was the very block, the road he was under the watchful eye of his dad, who drove his car a safe distance from his son, out of sight, but never out of mind. But ever ready to speed up and assist if the scene becomes too threatening. The boy thought he was alone, but he wasn't at all. The father was there all the time, hallelujah. But this does not mean that God is actually involved in setting us up in no way. He is responsible for those temptations that fling themselves across our path. This brings me to the third significant biblical passage. We read in the law of James 1 and 13 through 16. James practically christens that he has spelled out the downward spiral that occurs when you yield to temptation. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am being tempted by God." But God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived by beloved brethren. As we think over these descriptive words, three facts emerge. Temptation is inevitable. Did you notice the word "when" in verse 13? No way can we ever find a place that will secure us from all temptation. Not even the monk in the remotest missionary place. He may think he is protected, but his mind is there ready to paint the most colorful and sensual mental picture imaginable. We cannot ever get completely away from temptation. We know that temptation is never prompted by God. He says this clearly in verse 13. He never is tempted by the evil, nor does he tempt another. He is holy. Remember, infinitely pure, totally separated from sin. The next time you find yourself ready to implicate God in battle with lust, don't waste your time. You have been drawn away and enticed by your own lust. It's like those bank robberies we read about. It's always an inside job. You have to take the rap because you alone are responsible. We find in verse 14 makes that plainly clear. Lust always follows the same process. As you read verse 14 and 15, it is not difficult to see the downward spiral, the baited drop. Your inner desire, lust, is attached to that thing. As you deal, sin occurs. It happens when you bite the bait. Tragic consequences are set in motion, like the hook fish we end up trying. We find that in the law of James 1 and 13. Provides us with this thought that wake up and realize that yielding to love always results in tragic consequences. This passage takes the fun and game out of mentality. Find it extremely significant that the Greek term translated in Titus in verse 14 is a fishing term. It means to lure a bait. And anybody who's done much fishing quickly gets the picture in order to attack the fish. The right lure is needed. With just the right eye catching colorful or shape or sparkle, and it must be hound just the right way in order for the fish to be lured out of its safe, hidden place. The more skill and experience the antler, the greater his success. And so it is in life. Our enemy, crafty and clever, experienced as he is, knows which lure best attracts each one of us. Our unique inner itch longs to be satisfied by that particular outer scratch. And unless we draw upon all conquering power of Christ, unless we consciously apply the same biblical techniques Joseph applied, we'll yield, we'll bite the bait, and we'll suffer the horrible consequences. Small wonder that James ends up his counsel with the warning, do not be deceived. Let rivet into our mind these wise words. We read in the law of Matthew 4 and 1. Use the memorized word of God, quote, it allows. Openly yield the sword before the enemy. We find out that in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, hallelujah, you are not alone. Call out. Openly, wield the sword before the enemy. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 tells us that you are not alone. Call out for help, and the Lord Jesus Christ will help you endure and escape. And we'll read again in the law of James 1 and 13 through 16. Don't be deceived. The bait will inevitably drop. Do not yield. If you do, you will experience tragic consequences. If you refuse, you will remain secure and safe. As I stated earlier, God will reward your every act of moral restraint. So you can take charge of your thoughts as well. My Christian friend, let me tell you, let's be real and let's stay on the level. You and I are surrounded by a continuous stream of sexual suggested beauty at all times. And we know that the world of advertisement in the news stand, the soap operas, and the prime-time television, the film industry, many of these fashion and fads, even much that falls within the category of the arts appeal to our sensual appetite. Obviously, we are not called to clean up our world, but to be salt in it, to shine the light within. Salt loses its bite and light becomes dim when we allow these sensual thoughts to take place, to hold our kitchen and find lodging in our minds. The longer it continues to be tolerated, the less discriminated we remain, and the less self-control we restrain. Silently and lonely, your moral fiber erodes, leaving us an easy prey to the subtler of lust. Like pounding ocean waves that finally wear smooth the sharp edges of huge seawalls. Borders, the endless assault takes a terrible toll on our internal sanity. And if allowed to penetrate deeper and deeper, these alien through will find refuge with us. Dulling the once keen edge of our spiritual sensitivity. On the authority of God's word, I warn you, take charge of your thoughts. Be extremely careful about what you allow your eyes to observe and your ears to absorb. Ask the Spirit of God to assist you as you apply a filter to everything that enters your mind. Trust Him to provide you with the discipline and discernment you will need, and take it one day at a time. If the Lord could give Joseph the strength he needed to withstand the sensual assault of a woman centuries ago, He will do the same for you today. Hallelujah. And I hope and envy and pray that I've said something to inject your spirit and to impact your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. Till we meet again, I want you to go in God as God go in you. Bye for now.
You miss the time together.